morning and welcome to Apple a Day. It's Lake Region Healthcare's health and wellness show where we feature news and information you can use to live a healthier life. I am Katie Johnson, your host, and I have a special guest today, Dr. Bruce Money, a fixture of Lake Region Medical Group and Lake Region Healthcare, having served as an internal medicine physician, a hospitalist, a physician leader, a lifestyle medicine trailblazer, and just all around fabulous provider for so many years. And he has joined us today to reflect on his career as he comes upon his retirement. So thanks for taking some time today, Dr. Money.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
It's going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Good. So as I mentioned, you have cared for patients for so many years in this community, all the way back to 1987. When you think back to your first days, what stands out the most?
It's so much different now. I mean, when I first started, we had two entities. We had the Lake Region Medical Group, First Falls Medical Group. We had our own clinic. We had our own staff. We were a professional organization that actually hired the staff. And so it was two different entities between the hospital and the clinic. And that was kind of standard care and standard practice at that time. Mm-hmm. And so the other big thing is our duties were different. So we took care of our patients from the clinic to the emergency room to the hospital to the nursing home. So if my patient came in the ER, I would try to get over there and take care of them. So in those days, we did not have a full-time ER staff. And so family medicine did the bulk of the ER coverage, but for anybody who is really sick that were in room one or room two with heart issues or stroke or anything, general medicine was called and we went over. And so we followed our patients through the course of their illness. And so we'd get here in the morning at 7 o'clock and make rounds in the hospital, go to the clinic, see our patients, come back over at noon to see our patients here and go to clinic in the afternoon and then come back. So it was,
wow,
it was long days.
Yeah.
And then when you were on call, you took admissions overnight. So
sure.
Things are different now. And thankfully we have wonderful dedicated staff, you know, to where we have clinic providers, we have hospital providers, and we have wonderful ER doctors. So it's so much different.
More sustainable, I would bet.
Yeah.
Did you ever imagine when you started your career here that it would span nearly 40 years?
No, not really. I thought, you know, if we can get our children, you know, through college, and I just never thought it'd be 40 years, but I've been happy to be here for 40 years.
But here we are.
Yeah.
What was it that originally inspired you to pursue medicine in the first place?
It was my love for science. So when I went to college, I was going to be a wildlife biologist. And part of that training, you had to do some chemistry, and we had some molecular biology. And so when I got into molecular biology and chemistry, I just really loved it. And so I broadened my perspective at that time. And I knew one of my friends was working in the hospital as an orderly. So I knew a little bit about that. So I just thought maybe since I loved those kinds of things, I'd pursue medicine. I did not have a mentor doctor or a family that were in medicine. It was just a matter of my love for science.
That's great. Before you came to Fergus Falls, you served as a medical missionary in West Africa. What did that experience teach you about medicine, about people, about what you wanted your practice to look like?
Yeah, well, that was a great experience. It was a leap of faith. It was really faith building because we had to raise our support to go there. And so it was quite the experience. It was like walking back to 1940s. Mm-hmm. To care for patients as far as what we had available. We were able to do some basic lab work, mainly just electrolytes and looking at their hemoglobin Y count. And so I was able to do so much there. It was just required that I did so much. I mean, so they had different buildings for different patient populations. We had our outpatient clinic where we saw the outpatients and did minor surgery there. And then we had women's ward, men's ward, children's ward, and OB, mm-hmm. and plus the operating room. So and when I was there, the person who did pediatrics was back on leave. And so one of the doctors there got me up to speed on pediatrics. And so even though I was trained in internal medicine, I did a lot of peds there. Mm-hmm. And they taught me how to do getting IV access. And we took care of a lot of sick kids. But mm-hmm. I saw from a professional building standpoint, I saw a lot of diseases. I saw kind of some of the natural history of what happens, untreated disease. Mm-hmm. And so, and yeah. It was, I loved that experience. I really loved the people of Cameroon. They were very genuine people. They loved us being there to help mm-hmm. them. And what really inspired Sherry and I about the people is that they just were so family oriented. Mm-hmm. Family was everything to them. Mm-hmm. And it's a very good experience, and I learned a lot.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
What was it that brought you to that experience? And then maybe when you were done with that, how did you decide where to go next?
Yeah. So my wife had not thought of going overseas and serving, but we had heard some stories of other people doing it. And so during my residency, it kind of was on my bucket list. And so we started looking around, and actually the church that we were going to at the time was sponsoring this hospital in Cameroon. Mm-hmm. And they had been there. They were part of the initial building of the hospital in the 1940s. And so we heard about that. And then we found out that a person, one of the doctors who was there, was going to be back on furlough for a year, and so they needed somebody, and so we just kind of stepped into that. Mm. And it was over there that we had job offers in Fergus Falls and one in my hometown in Topeka, Kansas. And okay. So we made a decision by sending a letter back to my mother saying that this is where we're going to go, and she delivered the letter. So
wow, so you accepted this job while you were in Africa.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What was it about this position that it won out over your hometown of Topeka?
So in Topeka, it'd be a larger community, and I wanted to live in a rural area. Mm-hmm. When I grew up in Kansas, our vacation actually was to come to Minnesota fishing.
Oh.
my dad, mom, and I, we fished almost all the lakes around the Alexandria area. Okay. So we'd come up and spend a week. And so I loved the lakes area. And I wanted to be in a practice where I'd have good colleagues and I'd be able to do a variety of things in medicine. And this just seemed to fit the bill. I came up here by myself. It was like the third interview I had for a job. When I went back, I told my wife, Sherry, I said, okay, we're gonna go there. Mm-hmm. You need to go up and see the people, but this is where we're gonna go. And so I fell in love with it.
It was clearly a good fit.
Yeah.
Clearly a good fit. Well, like we mentioned earlier, you've cared for multiple generations of families over the years that you've been here. Talk about that long-term relationship with patients and what that has been like throughout your career.
It's been a real privilege. It's been great. I mean, I've had more than one occasion where a person would come in, usually a younger person, and they would say, well, you don't know me, but you take care of my father, and you took care of my grandparents in the nursing home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've had that several times. That's really rewarding.
Yeah.
And then just seeing, having people trust me with their health over generations, mm-hmm. and passing it down, very fulfilling.
That speaks volumes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure feels really good. Do you have any stories that kind of capture what makes practicing medicine in a community like this so special?
Well, again, I can tell you more than one occasion where we have had patients, my patients, who have gone to a tertiary place, either Fargo, Mayo Clinic, and they'll come back and say, you know, I'm really glad to be back here. I those places are great, but there's nothing like having good care close to home. I think the addition of our cancer center was a huge thing. That investment and that practice has made a huge difference in our community. Mm-hmm. And so I just think, and I've had that more than once, where people really appreciate to come back and they'd rather have their care done here. Mm-hmm. And so I think that speaks loads about the providers, the whole staff, and our whole system here. So I think that's one of my greatest stories, I think.
Yeah, just building that relationship and that trust is pretty special. What have your patients taught you over the years?
Mm-hmm. Well, probably the best thing is humility. Just the whole idea that they have the trust to come to see me and that I could be a partner with getting them on the road to good health. I think humility is the best. And like most humans, I love stories. And when we sit across from each other and they tell me their stories, mm-hmm. you know, some of them are just spectacular. They're very inspiring. And there are some that unfortunately are tragic, but just being able to share stories with one another has been a great opportunity. I think just the trust that people have in coming to me as a provider to see if I can help them along their health journey.
Mm-hmm. It is a privilege.
That's a privilege.
You've also served in quite a few leadership roles, medical group governance, medical director positions. What motivated you to step into the leadership opportunities that you had throughout your career?
Yeah. So I think it's just kind of a natural thing for me. I think it's part of my character. When I was in high school, I was a leader in Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts was really a big thing for me, and I did a lot of local, regional and national activities with Boy Scouts. In college, I was president of our honorary biological society, and then in medical school, Alpha Omega Alpha, that's a leadership program there, honorary society. So I think it's just something I've part of my character. And when I came here, you know, I just stepped into in leadership, just you know, to help out and do what I could for us to survive. I mean, mm-hmm. as everybody knows, we're an independent organization, and there's some big fish out there in the ocean that could gobble us up. But I guess that's wanted to be a part of the team to see if we can keep this organization going and that we can provide the best possible care for our patients.
Yeah. When you think back over the years and the organization then compared to today, what makes you most proud?
The fact that we are independent. That's been a priority of most of our physicians in our past, is that we want our autonomy. We don't want someplace you know, from the Twin Cities or Sioux Falls or whatever to tell us how to practice our medicine here. We know how to take care of our patients the best. Number one, I think that's the most thing I'm proud of our organization. Number two, I think as far as myself, I just being able to spend 39 years in doing the complete care of patients, you know, nursing home, hospital, and clinic, I've been very thankful to do that.
Like you mentioned, internal medicine, hospice and palliative care, nursing home care, more recently, lifestyle medicine. You've had a lot of experiences in medicine. How have those shaped your philosophy for caring for people?
Again, it has to do with looking at the whole person and looking at all aspects of their journey and their health. I guess recently it's been hard for me to go to nursing homes because most of my nursing home patients I knew 35 years ago, mm-hmm. and I've seen their journey. Yeah. And so a lot of my nursing home rounds is kind of grieving for me because that's life, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's different. Mm-hmm. And so, but anyway, I there's a couple things. When I first got involved, I started doing hospice, end-of-life care, and I really think that's an important aspect of our health care. I'm a strong advocate against any type of euthanasia. I think that is against the Hippocratic Oath. And so being involved with that has been very important for me. And so the other thing that has been important to me is getting involved in substance abuse. So one of my patients came in one day and told a rather tragic story to me. He was really upset, and I was trying to figure out exactly what was going on with him, and he ended up telling me his grandson overdosed. And so that got me thinking about what can we do. And we've had some lectures about, you know, the whole issue of substance abuse. And so getting into that and reaching out to these people who are young and have their whole life ahead of them and getting them on the right track, that's been very worthwhile too. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
It was a life-changing moment.
Yeah, yeah.
In many ways. You've become a strong advocate for lifestyle medicine yeah. recently too. Why is that work so important to you?
Yeah. So I think the whole paradigm shift of reactive medicine to preventative medicine is something that we all need to do. And we see that nowadays. We see so many people thinking about what can I do to prevent chronic illness, and we all know that we're mortal and we will die sometime, but the whole idea is to function at your top for as long as you can before you decline, and that's the whole essence of longevity and lifestyle medicine. And I started reading about it, and I think just like you, getting involved with the whole concept of the six pillars of health and knowing that that is evidence-based, mm-hmm. that if we follow, you know, those lifestyle changes, that we can prolong the chronic illnesses and have a very fulfilled life. And so I think just it's the whole mind shift of thinking about what can I do to prevent illness as opposed to, now I've had a heart attack, now what do I do? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that's been a very good thing, and I'd like to continue to do that in our patient population and our people here in Otter Tail County.
Mm-hmm. And you take modeling that really seriously as well, and people yeah. notice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I talk to my patients about it all the time, mm-hmm. so yeah.
Yeah. As someone who's spent your lifetime helping people live healthier lives, then you talk about prevention and wellness. What does that mean to you?
When I think of wellness, I think about the whole person. You think about the physical, the emotional, the spiritual person, and the social person, and looking at being intentional about developing all those aspects of health. And that's what we talk about in lifestyle medicine, is looking at those things in the six pillars of lifestyle medicine that we need to focus on. And like I say, they're evidence-based. We've got good evidence that, you know, just eating a plant-based diet will prolong your life. If you get out and move and be active, you'll have longevity. If you have good social connections and interactions, it'll prolong your life. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I think those are good motivating things that we need to share with our population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how interrelated they are is undeniable too. When you reflect on your career, what has surprised you most?
I think probably the changes in medicine. If you look at when I started, from a diagnostic standpoint, we had CT scans, but they were crazy slow. I mean, a scan that we would do in 10 minutes now probably took 2 hours in the olden days, and the images were fuzzy. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have MRIs. We had slow CT scans, ultrasound. The pictures of the heart now are just unbelievable on ultrasound. So diagnostic-wise, as far as diseases, I mean, when I first started, HIV was just starting. Mm-hmm. I was part of a team that took care of the first patient respiratory failure with AIDS at St. Paul. So I lived through that epidemic, and we knew the clinical spectrum, but we did not know the causative agent. So it was quite the mystery. And then, of course, living through COVID, that was a bad nightmare. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just tremendous seeing so many people that I knew personally dying from it or suffering from it. That was just terrible. Mm-hmm. But as far as therapeutics, it's so amazing what we have nowadays. I mean, back in the olden days, we did not have any acute intervention for heart attacks or stroke. And so we managed them medically. We'd have a person that came in and had a heart attack here. We'd take care of them for a couple of days, and then they would electively go up and get their angiograms at Fargo. So we did not have direct intervention like we do now. Mm-hmm. And the direct intervention is wonderful. And then as far as cancer, it's pretty amazing that we have the modalities now, the pinpoint radiation that you have very little side effect from, and just the whole concept of thinking about how you modulate the cancer cell to where your immune system recognizes it, and you utilize your immune system to take care of the cancer. I mean, that's sort of like science fiction back in the day. We never had that, but mm-hmm. those things are pretty amazing and pretty wonderful.
Yeah, you're right. Amazing and wonderful.
Yeah.
Any advice that you would give to a young physician just starting out in practice today?
Yeah. I would just say, remember your calling, that you are a healer, that people come for you to get better in their health journey. Remember that the interaction between a patient and a physician is a sacred encounter. It's not a business transaction. And that people are there wanting you to help them in their journey. Mm-hmm. I think that's the number one. The second thing would be just to value relationships. That's one of the best parts of working here, is just interactions with people like you and the nursing staff and people that serve the food, that clean up. I just love interacting with mm-hmm. them. We have great staff here.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful.
It is. It's a pretty special place to build relationships, both with patients and with the Lake Region Healthcare family. Yeah. If you could go back and talk to Dr. Money on his first day in Fergus Falls, what would you tell him?
I would probably just say value relationships. That just try to value that person that's in front of you, whether it's the nurse or your patient. It's a very special thing to be in healthcare and do what we do. So I would think just enjoy the journey and value relationships.
So as you prepare for retirement, what will you miss the most?
Well, it'd be the two things I talked about, stories, mm-hmm. interacting with people and mm-hmm. sharing their stories and relationships. It's been a great experience to be part of this team and see how we've grown and how we've changed and how resilient we are. Mm-hmm. That's been fun. So I'll miss that. But some relationships will shrink down, but I'll grow other relationships and develop other relationships. But, you know, we're all social creatures. It's important for us to be engaged in interaction. I'm going to embrace that and continue that. But I'll miss relationships, I think.
What are you most looking forward to in retirement?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try new things. I'm going to spend time with my family, my wife, my kids, my grandkids. I think the big thing for us is that since our families in the Twin Cities is to be available mm-hmm. if they need us, that we'll be down there and be with them. And so I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to traveling, a little more traveling.
Like you said, your wife, your children and grandchildren are a big, big part of your next chapter. And while you're stepping away from a full-time practice in medicine, it sounds like you're going to stay on and do a little bit more work in lifestyle medicine. What excites you about continuing that work? What are you planning there?
Well, I think we can make the whole team in lifestyle medicine, we can make a great impact on the health of our population by just coming up with these concepts of, you know, looking at different aspects of your life to improve on. And like I say, we're not immortal. We will die, but if we can function at the highest level until the end, that's our goal. And I'd like to be able to share that with our population.
Yeah. When people think about Dr. Bruce Money's legacy at Lake Region Healthcare, what do you hope they'll remember?
That I was a compassionate physician and that I did my best to help people on their journey of health, and that I was a part of making sure that this facility functioned and that we remained independent.
Mm-hmm. I think you've done well on all of those things. Anything you'd like to say to your patients, to your colleagues, and to this community as you enter retirement?
I would say that to our population and to the providers and staff here is that we need to cherish this organization and be a part of it and do all we can to sustain it, because this is really a wonderful jewel that we have here. And I would encourage everybody to do their part to sustain that and keep that going. Mm-hmm.
To follow your legacy of generosity with your time, mm-hmm. your talent, and your resources. You really have shown us how to do that.
Well, thank you.
So thank you. Okay, a fun lightning round before we leave.
Okay.
Dr. Money, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Early bird or night owl?
I I basically can't function after 8 o'clock at night, so I gotta go to bed.
And I see you every morning in the gym at 5.
That's right.
Yep, for early birds. Favorite place in Otter Tail County?
Oh, it's such a great county. Right now, it'd be on the river in my kayak.
Great spot. One word that describes a good physician?
Compassionate.
Best career advice you've ever received?
When I was an intern, my first day on the job, my resident, probably the first thing he told me was, be nice to nurses. And so that was the best advice.
Very good advice. What are you reading, listening to, or learning right now?
Well, I'm involved with a program called the Colson Fellowship. And so it's a Christian perspective on worldview. And so right now, we just started in August, and I've got all kinds of books I'm reading. I'm reading Mere Christianity again, and Desecration of Man by Carl Truman. So they're kind of heavy readings, mm-hmm. but it's going to be a good course. It's a 10-month course, and every month we've got to read a couple books. So
I'm gonna be
reading a lot.
Good thing you're going to have more time.
That's
on
right.
your head. And what's bringing you joy these days?
Well, many things. Being on my pontoon with my wife, a lot of fun. My grandchildren. I'm just really blessed. Mm.
So much to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And we are thankful for you. Thank you for 39 years of service, of leadership, of compassion, of care, of deep, meaningful relationships. We are grateful for you and grateful for this time you gave us today.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a real joy to sit down and talk about things.
Well, Dr. Bruce Money, we thank you again for your 39 years of service here, and we invite the community to come in and thank you as well. We are planning an open house in the clinic lobby in Fergus Falls on Thursday, October 1st. Watch for more details about what time that will be, probably 3 to 6 time frame in the evening, something like that. But we really want to give our community and the Lake Region Healthcare family a chance to wish you well as you go off into retirement. But as I said, we're also looking forward to seeing you around doing some lifestyle medicine and shared medical appointments as well. But again, Dr. Money, thank you. Thanks for your service and thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Katie.
Dr. Bruce Money and Katie Johnson on Apple a Day today, reminding you at Lake Region Healthcare, we are here for you always. Have a great day.